So all they need to do is give Donaldson an MRI and then throw him out there with a sore hip, and he'll be the catalyst. It's easy to kind of look at that, and you know, sports analysts will be, oh, well, they sparked the comeback and they're a different team with them. But it went from really bad to really good in a short amount of time with him back in the lineup.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of can take a little bit of a deep breath here today, although they've got Ari Dickey going tonight, so who knows, you know, and I'm not picking on Ari Dickey, but who knows, you don't know what he's going to do. He doesn't know what he's going to do, and so we'll see. But yeah, a whole bunch of things went right last night after a whole bunch of things going wrong in the last 2 weeks. Donaldson came back, had to change his swing a bit. He looked a little different at the plate, but he was effective. J-Hap was terrific for the second straight, you know, kind of you want a stopper performance in your rotation. He did the same thing in the one game they won against Boston after the players only meeting. That was him. You know, last night he went out there and was very good, had a pretty clean outing against a crummy team, but you still got Trout and Pujols you got to pitch around. So it's not like there's nothing there. And they did Bautista made a couple of nice catches in right field, even though he's looked like he can't play right field for a good chunk of this season. Russell Martin, who is the most important player on this team, hit a home run. And everybody else lost pretty much. You know, the Red Sox had a crazy comeback against the Yankees. But with all of those American League East teams playing each other, there's going to be a guaranteed good outcome for the Jays while they're on the West Coast in terms of what the other teams are doing. And the Tigers went and lost to Minnesota, lost 2 out of 4 to Minnesota. So, all is sort of right with the world, but that by tomorrow morning we could be having a completely different conversation again.
Marco Estrada, it was sort of released by John Morosi, or the news showed up there in his Twitter feed. He's been pitching with a herniated disc in his back. Thoughts on this? I mean, it would explain a lot, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I think the notion that he's had back problems since the offseason, that's been around since spring training. Right? He hurt himself doing some kind of workout thing and it was, you know, a quote bad back unquote, and he missed some time in the middle of the season. They sat him down to try and rest it. So it's got a name now. Herniated disc can mean a lot of things. There are varying degrees of severity in terms of what a herniated disc is. You know, I would think that if you've been able to pitch through it for most of a major league season, it's probably not the worst kind of herniated disc.
He said it was worse earlier in the season when he was pitching well.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like he's had some weird performances lately. Like the last one where he goes out and he's absolutely dominant to start, and then he just hits a wall, and everything comes apart. And that you wonder what that is. Could be fatigue. It could be a herniated disc. It could be, I guess, other things. But it's been, he's been so consistent otherwise. It's been strange watching some of those performances. But it's not like it's career-threatening. It's not like he's about to go under the knife. It's not like anybody was irresponsible allowing him to go out and pitch. You know, if you herniate a disc is a thing it can be serious, but in most cases it's something that gets better if you rest it and kind of look after yourself, and I'm sure that's what he'll do in the offseason. You know, in the meantime, the guy has pitched through pain, obviously, this year and has had a really good season. You know, now they're going to need him down the stretch. It's great when they go out and, score some runs like they did last night, and they will have to do that as well. But this is a team that has succeeded all year, mostly because of its starting rotation. And, you've only had to go 7 starters deep with this team, which is amazing this year. You know, the Angels, I think what they say last night, they've used 15 different starters this year.
Wow. Gross.
Now they've had an unbelievable series of injuries. They've also used something like, 50 different players this year on their major league roster, 52, I think. They've got 15 starters. The Jays have used 7. You know, the 6 guys currently in the expanded rotation and Drew Hutchison for a couple of spot starts. And that, talk about why they are where they are right now. It's because that group has been incredibly good and incredibly consistent. And, why things started to slide. Well, yeah, the offense is not like last year's offense. It's not going to, you're not going to win a lot of 9-8 games this year. But, there have been some slip-ups in that rotation, and they're going to need to pitch down the stretch. Those guys are going to have to be good.
I remember back when the Jays signed Russell Martin, and a lot of money for a catcher who's getting older, and the things we talked about, you can count on him because he's good and under pressure, and when the games ramp up, he seems to excel, and he's been to the playoffs all these years. And you watch last night, need a win, who comes through but Russell Martin? It's weird, he has delivered in the tangibles and intangibles from that deal.
You're absolutely right. You know, when they signed him, so Alex Anthopoulos went out, and you know, that was his big free agent signing that winter, and they, you know, the first reaction most people had was, we already got a catcher, because they had Deonner Navarro, who'd had a nice year and is a, you know, decent defensive catcher, and he was a pretty good offensive player. And you know, why are you not filling a position of need with that money? Why are you going to get a guy? And I remember talking to Alex about it. I remember talking to him before he signed him that winter and saying, what are you, know, who are you, you know, kind of one of those nice off the record forthright conversations you get to have with people every once in a while. And he said, I want to sign Russell Martin. And I said, why? You know, you don't need a catcher. You got there are other issues with this team. Why would you go out and get him? And he went through chapter and verse how Russell Martin makes teams better on a bunch of different levels. And you know, then he went out and got him. And again, there were a lot of raised eyebrows. And I got to say, I didn't get it at first. You know, I understood that Martin's, you know, he's got an unbelievable track record in terms of being in the postseason, which is not a fluke. You know, he's made a lot of pitchers have had great years with him. A lot of pitchers have been kind of guys, you know, who have been kind of reborn pitching to him. But watching him during this stretch with the Blue Jays, and especially this year, you know, you realize he was hurt. He had that neck problem earlier in the year, and that affected him. But watching him really the last 4 months, and the way he's handled his staff, the way he's kind of stabilized the team, you know, I think he's a very strong internal guy. Like I'm not sure about the intangible stuff sometimes, but you know, he's not a rah-rah guy. But I guarantee you, he was one of those guys that spoke at that players only meeting last week. But there's just, you kind of look at what's the core of this team right now. Well, the core of this team is, you know, is that rotation. And you know, you look at a guy like Jason Grilly coming over and finding himself again, and Joaquin Benoit being successful. You know, guys who were, you know, looked like they maybe were at the kind of end of the line.
Liriano,
same thing, right? Yeah, I think you got to credit Russell Martin with a lot of that stuff. He's not throwing as many guys out this year, but that, you know, that has to do sometimes as much with pitchers as it does with a catcher. And I don't think he's cheating quite as much. You know, he used to be really kind of three quarters behind the plate and almost cheat to throw guys out. I think his focus this year has been on framing pitches and working with the pitchers and doing that primarily. And I'll tell you, a lot of guys have said it lately, but I think I would have said it in the middle of the summer too. There's the most valuable player on this team is him. You know, you got a guy who's a legitimate MVP candidate in Donaldson. You've got Encarnacion's having a crazy year. But if there's one guy that the guy they could least afford to lose on this team is Russell Martin.
Agreed. Yeah. Give us a little history lesson here, because it has been 20 years since a 10th September race. We wake up this morning and that the 3-9 September doesn't feel so bad after a win in L.A., but Baltimore now tied with the Jays. They're two back of Boston, and there's a lot of teams in the wild card that I don't really know what to make of. Detroit, New York, and even Seattle had won. They've won 8 in a row to get back into this thing.
Yeah, that Seattle's interesting, you know, because they've been a team that they've got a lot of interesting pieces in Seattle, and that's going to be a really, the Jays going in there at the end of this road trip is going to be, that's going to be fun, especially with all those people coming down from Vancouver to cheer on the Jays. That'll be
and Calgary, Stephen, of course.
And yeah. Calgary, Albertans, yeah, it's a little longer drive for you guys, but boy,
quick flight
sounds like fun to me. That's going to be a very interesting series. Now, I think the Royals are out of it now, so we can kind of write them off. Too many teams to climb over, and they've never really gotten back to what they were last year. I think the Yankees are a long shot. For a bunch of reasons. You know, this has been kind of an unexpected thing after they were sellers at the deadline, and I think a little bit of the magic's starting to wear off there. You know, Baltimore surprises me in a lot of ways. You know, they were a team, and I thought they were going to – I just thought the pitching wasn't good enough. But they have managed – you know, they got a great closer, obviously. They've got the best closer in baseball, and they've got great offense, but they've managed to hang in. And, you know, for all of us, all the hosannas we kind of offer up with the Red Sox – they haven't managed to run away from anybody. You know, they came into Toronto and kind of asserted themselves and won 2 out of 3, and everybody's going, oh my, look at that great team. Ortiz having this great year, and David Price is pitching well, and all those young guys. Well, they're right there with everyone else. So we're gonna it's gonna be fun. You know, they all play each other the last 2 weeks. Last 2 weeks are gonna be tremendous. And look, I still, you know, with a whole bunch of asterisks attached, I still like the Jays roster better than any of those teams. But, you know, the asterisks are pretty obvious, right? Injury, wear and tear, a lot of, you know, guys who haven't looked like themselves this last stretch. The offense has never really clicked this year the way it did last year. But there's still a possibility that if things fall into place, you know, I think the Blue Jays can still win the division.
The Jays hire Ben Cherington, the former Red Sox GM, earlier this week. What do you see? Is it too many chefs in the kitchen? What is his role going to be? I think you can never have too many smart people, but at some point it gets to be too much.
Yeah, you look at what the Dodgers have done, right? They've done kind of the same thing. That's what, you know, Alex Anthopoulos is one of, I think, four vice presidents with the Dodgers. And they're regarded as a pretty smart organization. So, you know, Ben Cherington's a smart young guy. He's 42. You know, he's got one of these guys, kind of the new breed of baseball exec, went to Harvard Business School. And, you know, his tenure in Boston, he kind of, you know, last year kind of killed him because of the Sandoval trade, you know, bombed out, and Hanley Ramirez was terrible last year, and there are a bunch of things that got hung on him. But if you look at the core of that, you know, the guys that people are excited about in Boston, Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley and Bogarts, those are his guys. You know, those are guys that team drafted and developed. And the Jays are going to put a huge amount of emphasis, under Mark Shapiro, on player development. That's the title they've given to Cherington. And, I think it's a bit of a coup to actually sign him. I wonder what it means for Tony LaCava, because, you know, he signed an extension last year after Alex left. But you kind of wonder, you know, but he's part of the old regime, and I kind of wonder if he might be on the way out, if that's the shuffle that's coming here. I don't know that for a fact, or, you know, no one's told me that, but that's the one thing I wonder about, if there's a changing of the guard coming there.
It's another one of his guys that's worked for him in Cleveland as well. I know that has rubbed some the wrong way, but now you look at what's been built in Cleveland, they're incredibly affordable, they're young, they're a first-place baseball team. Not that Cherington was around for the building of this group, but I think that scares people more than it should, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I think you hire, I think it's natural in any business situation that you probably hire some people who you know and like. I don't think it's that unusual that would happen. And it's certainly not unusual that the new guys would want their own guys in place. But as long, you know, it's not like I wonder about, you know, a guy like Eric Wedge coming in, like, you know, really, what's he? But the Ben Cherringtons and, you know, the business guy they brought in, Andrew Miller, and they're, you know, these are blue chip, kind of bright young people in the baseball business. It's not cronyism. You know, if you bring in Ben Cherington, who I think he only worked 1 year as an advanced scout for Cleveland, so it wasn't like he was a lifer there. But, you know, that's a really good hire to me. You know, you're getting a guy who was going to get a job somewhere else. Might have got a general manager's job somewhere else, and you kind of add him to the brain trust. I don't, you know, if there's a Cleveland line on his resume, that's not a red flag in any way.
Our guest, of course, is Stephen Brunt here on Boomer and Warner in the Morning. The World Cup essentially kicks off tomorrow, and I think if there were any skeptics, they're probably thinned out now. Pre-tournament games showed some passion from the players, and if it matters to the players, then why wouldn't it matter to us? But now, starting tomorrow, Canada will begin their play, and it's going to... I guess my question is, are you surprised by the level of compete and give a crap from these pro players in pre-tournament games?
Absolutely. Yes. I'm shocked. You know, in a good way.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the other thing is that, you know, you look at the television numbers, you know, how many people have been watching these pre-tournament games. I think that reflects the quality of the hockey, which, you know, I would have bet the house that the pre-tournament games were going to look like a bunch of guys coming off their summer vacation. And I know guys stay in shape and all that, but, you know, that's, you know, what preseason hockey looks like, right? I thought it was going to look like preseason hockey pretty much, and that the tournament would probably catch fire at some point. But, you know, you don't have a lot of hope saying, well, you know, I'm going to watch Team North America play Team Europe. Man, that'll be a barn burner in a preseason game, except that, you know, it was really entertaining. And, you know, Canada-Russia the other day was really entertaining. And, you know, Canada, the U.S., there was a lot of edge and chippiness. And, you know, hate to say it, but, you know, the pre-tournament games were better than a whole lot of mid-season NHL games.
Yeah, they
were. I know the talent level's super high, but, you know, in terms of kind of give a crap, you know, there are a lot of games I watched in the middle of the NHL season last year where I don't think the guys cared as much as they have in these pre-tournament games. So, yeah, it kind of suggests that this might be a cracking good tournament, doesn't it?
It does, and I guess the one thing we're hearing is the Team Europe thing hasn't taken hold like they wanted. I get it, because it's an NHL-driven thing. If they leave out certain countries, well, you're not going to see Anze Kopitar, and you're not going to see those sorts of players. So I get that. Any thought on how you can rectify that?
Well, they played better, though, right? They beat Sweden 5-2 in the last game. So maybe they're just kind of figuring it out a little bit later. You know, it's a tough one. There are 8 different countries represented on that team. You know, so you've got guys who, some of whom have played with each other in the NHL or played with each other for their countries. But it's a different scenario than, you know, every one of these other teams. You know, Team North America is a whole other thing. But the other teams, you know, the guys have played either in the Olympics or they played in World Juniors or they played somewhere together internationally. It's, you know, throwing together guys from 8 different teams and 8 different hockey cultures in 10 days and trying to make them into a team. But and everybody wrote them off after those first games against Team North America. Said, look, they're old and they're slow and they don't look like they've got it. But yeah, I think going out and beating Sweden 5-2, you know, I think it's a one-time thing. You know, like, I don't know what's going to happen with the under-24 thing, whether that'll continue. But I think in the next World Cup, they're going to want it to look more like a World Cup, you know, more like an Olympic tournament. They're going to, I assume there will be qualifying play, and they'll want it. They're trying to create something that's an alternative to the Olympics, assuming that the NHL is going to part ways with the Olympics probably before the next games. So I would assume you'll have, you know, Slovakia or Belarus or, you know, it's Germany. One of those countries will be in, and you won't have this kind of, this is just to get through this year. But, you know, they may not be quite as bad as we thought they were. You know, I'm not sure that results, you know, surprised me. And, you know, it's also a bunch of guys getting back and playing on the small ice again, which they haven't been doing. So, yeah, I'm not as, you know, I'm like most people. I'm way more intrigued by the under-24 team, but it will be interesting to see how they pull these guys together.
How do you feel if you live in Switzerland or Slovakia, where the Slovakians had an amazing tournament in Vancouver 2010? The Swiss have historically been a nightmare for the Canadians in tournament play at the Olympics and other. This is the failing of the tournament to me, because even if they win this thing, where are people actually celebrating?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, look, I don't think it's going to set hearts afire in Europe. You know, that's, there'll be hockey pockets where people will watch them and say, well, those are our guys. But I don't think anybody's going to rally around whatever flag it is they're going to hoist. And, you know, and I don't expect them to win the tournament, you know. I think that's the one where I think they will retire that concept the minute this one is over. But, you know, as long as they're competitive, you know, again, that's part of the idea here was also, let's make sure everybody's competitive. We don't want, you know, we don't want a team that's getting bombed out. It's a short tournament. It's very concentrated, all on one site. And I know, like, you know, in the Soccer World Cup, there are teams that are non-competitive. That's kind of part of the deal if you're going to have a full. But this is kind of like the condensed version. And so I think they did their best to try and make sure everybody has a chance to win, you know, or at least a chance to win some games. And so for entertainment value, no one wants to watch somebody lose 8-1. It's not much fun.
What happens if your Tie Cats lose tonight?
Oh, man, I'm going to that game tonight. The fact that the Montreal Alouettes quarterbacks and receivers, they're not speaking to each other, I think is a good thing for my Tiger Cats.
Yep.
You know, the guys are like guys actually kind of almost getting into fist fights at practice all week. That Daron Carter seems like a horrible person, doesn't he?
He loves Daron Carter.
He does.
He's a big Daron Carter fan.
But don't I like? He's one of those guys that if he wasn't, if he had slightly different personality traits, he'd be playing in the National Football League, because he definitely has the talent to do it. I think there's no question about it. Now, when I first saw him in Montreal, I said, this guy, he's just passing through. Yeah. You know, he's going to have a nice NFL career, but clearly there are issues with him. And, you know, this sense that those guys are kind of bullying Raheem Cato, the quarterback. They're picking on him because, you know, of the way he speaks and kind of where he comes from. And like this, the notion that these are kind of entitled guys who grew up in privilege who are picking on a guy who grew up in horrible, horrible poverty.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful, right? Like, how would that dynamic play in a dressing room?
Yeah, not great.
So, yeah, my Tiger Cats have got a bunch of issues. They've got, you know, half their offensive line is new tonight because of injuries and a non-performance. C.J. Gable's hurt. They really stunk the joint out against the Argos last week, so they have something to prove. But I think they are they're probably playing the right opponent tonight.
Enjoy the game. Don't get into a fight, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday.
I'll do my best.
Thank you, Steven.
See you, boys.